Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
The kettle's boiled, Vic.
Great. Perfect timing. Just a dash of milk for me, please, mate.
Here you go. Should we get started then?
Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning and said, I'm never drinking again, and then found yourself waving 50 bucks at a barman by happy hour?
Are you wondering why everyone else can stop at one, while you head to a dodgy after party with a weird bloke called Disco Dave? If so, it might be time to take a deeper look at your relationship with your reliable social crutch, alcohol.
On each episode, we'll investigate our own dysfunctional dealings with booze and find out if it's possible to stop this deeply ingrained habit before things get too messy.
Yep, we're going to open up a shame shed of humiliating drinking stories to help you understand why waking up from a booze coma each weekend with a kebab sticking out of your top pocket might actually be negatively impacting your health.
Hamish and I are here to delve into what it's like being sober, an unwanted warts and all look into why giving up those cheeky pints or putting down those mummy wines will make you feel happier, help your anxiety and mental health, and turn you into the most sparkly, authentic version of you.
Won't that mean I become boring though, Vic?
Well, Hamish, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm Victoria Vanstone.
I'm Hamish Adams-Cairns.
And this is Sober Awkward.
Vic, what's that on your chin?
I've woken up with a bruise on my chin.
Oh, an overnight injury?
Yeah, I've no idea where it's come from.
Not you and John getting a bit humpity-dumpity?
No, nothing like that. Too tired for that.
You've got bruised in the night?
Yeah, I've got a bruise on my chin.
Do you sleepwalk?
No, I don't know what's happened. I've woken up. And do you know why it's awful?
Go on.
Because we've got our awards ceremony tomorrow night and I've got a bruise on my chin.
It's the one day that we're going to... Other than maybe that day when we do the photographing.
Yeah.
It's maybe the one day that we're going to get photographed.
Yeah. And you shouldn't have a bruise on your chin on that
Shall
day.
Shall I punch myself in the face to make you feel better?
Maybe we could go battered and bruised.
That's a nice idea.
That would be funny, wouldn't it? Like we've just been in a fight with someone.
Yeah, okay. That's our outfit.
That's our theme.
Battered and bruised.
Yeah, battered and bruised from years of drinking.
That's nice.
Yeah. But also, did you notice that not only do I have a bruise on my chin, Hamish, but I'm very Shania Twain today. I've got double denim.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I didn't notice. And I wouldn't have made the Shania Twain comparison.
Really? Why? I look quite a lot like Shania Twain.
I don't think I see double denim and it screams Shania Twain. For me, it screams boy band.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't mind either. Yeah.
Backstreet.
Yeah, so I'm not looking my best.
Well, battered and bruised and Shania Twain. I think maybe distract them with the Shania Twain.
Okay,
yeah. That's the key.
Okay,
we'll just go big on your dress code and they distract from your face.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe something you've always done.
Yeah. Now, Hamish, we haven't done a Shame Shed episode for a while. And as you all know, Hamish and I like to share communal embarrassment rather than wallow in individual blame. And basically, we want you to get a few things off your chest. Not only so you feel better, but also so that we get a bit of a laugh and don't feel so bad about some of the things we've done in the past. It's a win-win. I'm sure some of them have had bruises on their chin, haven't they, Hamish?
It's not a win-win, is it? It's a win-draw at best.
A win-draw-lose.
Yeah. When people come up to us that never met us, they're like, oh my God, you did that thing. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a win.
Yeah. Someone said to me the other day, how does it feel that I know everything about
you? I know nothing about you. You know, I've told all of my stories, all of them.
It's pretty weird, actually. But before now, when we've done a Shame Shed episode, we've asked for drunken injury stories, half-cut sexy run-ins, or just some crazy shit you've done when off your nut. So this time we thought we'd get a bit more specific and focus on using technology when you're off your noggin.
The old drunk texts, weird online purchases, messy emails to bosses, and odd Tinder arrangements. We've all done it, whether it was in prehistoric times when Vic was young on Pages, CFAX, MySpace and landlines. When I was young, over Facebook, dating apps, mobile, Snapchat, Instagram, AI. I'm down with the kids.
You're that generation, aren't you?
Yeah, you used to scrawl your love notes, didn't you?
Yeah.
With ink and blood.
Yeah. With dipped ink with a feather in my day,
Just candle lit.
Yes, yeah.
When you're drunk, you can trick your soggy brain into thinking it's a good idea to message an ex, or worse, message his current girlfriend. Yes. I would say his or her. I'm going to include myself in that one.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, those hangovers are harder to clear up than the vomit stain on the lounge floor, I would say. Let's face it, in the past, drinking made us do loads of silly stuff. It might be after one glass or in a blackout, it doesn't matter. All we know is when booze is in your body, FaceTiming someone you met at an acid house party in Peckham in 1998 seems like a good idea.
I didn't go to that many acid house parties when I was seven.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes,
maybe.
You did. I saw you there, up on the stage with your e-mask on.
Did you ever do that when you go to a party and people start handing out Tangfastics?
I don't know what that is.
Haribo. It's quite nice having sour sweets.
Oh, no, it was
when
more,
you were at a rave.
It was chewing gum in my day.
Yeah,
it was Blue Orbit.
That's nice for the jaw.
But
there's something about sour sweets which was nice.
Different era of being off our heads, Hamish.
Today we're going to find out why we do this, what the consequences are, and do a top Shame Shed countdown. That's sort of become a theme of this series,
isn't it? Yeah, we love countdowns, don't we?
It's basically become top 20. Share some of our weirdest and most awkward tech hangovers that have ever happened, but just to make all of you that have emailed us feel a little less exposed, don't worry, we're going to humiliate ourselves too.
Yes, awesome.
So, Vic, I know this is going to be good.
Oh, God.
What is your history with all this? Have you ever called or texted an ex when pissed?
I, as you said, wasn't really of that era.
Because no, whenever you're before phones.
I was before the mobile phone, really, all my damage was
or the
done.
Landline.
Yeah, and then I went travelling and I just wasn't contactable. There
I don't
was
think
no
drunk emails happen as often when
no.
you had to like sit at a computer to
yes.
send it rather than just tap away on your phone.
Yeah, even when I was travelling, I didn't really have phones, so anything I did just disappeared into the town that I left.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Nice.
Went down in history as that legendary English woman that did that weird thing.
Or self-labelled yourself legendary there.
One thing I did, Hamish, this is actually quite serious.
Okay.
I lost a good mate doing this. Mm-hmm. I lost a really good friend of mine, Biddy. Hello, Biddy, if you're ever listening to the Sober Awkward podcast, I do apologise. I emailed her once after too much wine and told her that she acted like a twat when she came to visit me. And it was a really kind of aggressive message. She emailed me back and ended our friendship over it. And I was really, really sad. And it was one of my biggest regrets because I just sent this kind of blah, 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 just thinking in the moment after a couple of glasses of wine, you upset me, this is, I'm going to tell my truth sort of feeling, which of course you do when you've had a few wines. You feel like, you know, stronger and like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to really own this and I'm going to tell the person what I thought of them. It's actually really horrible and toxic. She was actually one of the most loyal friends that I've ever had. Wherever I was travelling, she'd send me a bag of pick and mix.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
I know, she was so sweet.
How does she break up on an email? Like, what words did she use?
She just
this
said,
is the end of us.
Yeah, she just said, this friendship isn't working for me anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, fair enough. Afterwards, I was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And since then, I've emailed to say I'm really sorry that that happened and I'm really embarrassed. And it was just a really fucked up time in my life and I shouldn't have messaged you after drinking and blah, blah, blah. But I just really...
Cold shoulder.
No, she contacted me again and said, don't worry about it. But I destroyed our friendship, basically, from doing that. So it was awful. Massive regret from that. And that was just literally a couple of glasses of wine and feeling that strength inside you that you think you have when, in fact, it's just you being a bit of a cunt.
Sure.
Sorry to use the C word there if there's children in the car.
Yeah, it's okay in Australia. I don't know if it's as okay in other countries where people listen.
Apologies in
it's
advance.
It's about yourself, it's all right.
Yeah, it's about myself. Yeah. I was being a bit of a C word, yeah.
Thank you for now C wording it.
Yes, thank you. I will C word it from now on, Hamish. I once texted a picture that I thought was hilarious when under the influence. It looked like a big foot in a shoe, like in a little dainty shoe. Mm-hmm. But when you zoomed in, it was a massive penis and the balls in the heel.
Who did you send this to?
I actually sent it to one of the mums at school.
Right.
Yeah, because I thought it was really funny. And I was like, ha, 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 I'm going to send this to a few people. And I actually didn't mean to send it to her. And I'd had a few wines.
Sure.
And yeah, I just sent it to the wrong person.
Did she mention it at school
pickup? She never spoke to me again.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Even when I remember walking up to her about to apologise for it and her just kind of walking in the other direction.
But do her kids still go the same?
The message said underneath, do you like my new shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't appropriate at all.
I don't like the shoes and I don't like you.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it was a good picture. I'll send it to you later.
It'd be good. Yeah, I'll find it funny. Yeah.
It's funny because you do think it's a foot at first, then you zoom in and
I understand
it's quite horrible.
It's not complicated.
Do you want me to explain it to you a bit more?
No.
Exactly what it looked like. What about you?
What struck me this week is that your memory of your drunken stories is insane. You tell them every week on the podcast. You've written a book about them. I forget all of them because that's what alcohol does.
True.
I don't know how you got as drunk as you seemingly got and remember everything.
Well, it's not that. I remember some things, but there are so many stories that I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. It's just the law of averages.
Yes, the law of averages. Yeah, so much has happened. I remember waking up one morning and someone saying you were thrown out of this bar last night because you were on top of a table riding on someone's back. And I'm like, well, I don't remember that. So I can tell also stories that other people have told me that I don't even know whether happened or not.
Yeah.
So that adds to the list of stories that I have is other people's stories
of
me.
Okay. So it's other people's memories, not your own. I had my fair share of arguments with a girlfriend by text.
Yes.
The reason for this, and we were just speaking about this earlier, it is impossible to communicate emotions through a text. Mm. Everything sounds a little bit harsher than it is intended. And I don't know how many drunk text arguments it takes to realise, oh, it's because we're texting instead of calling.
Yep.
Years, I would suggest. Years and years. We go, oh, maybe I'll just call them and then the tone of my voice isn't quite as aggressive as it sounds on a text. And that sort of shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
I would say I probably had 50 examples of, like, texts. And I think the reason with exes is what's going on is sort of what you alluded to earlier. You're in bed drunk. And you're thinking deep thoughts. And you're thinking, if I send this text, maybe they're in bed drunk, missing me, having deep thoughts. But you send the text, being like, I miss you, or whatever.
Yeah.
They could be out at a restaurant having a really good time.
Yeah, with
or
their new
in
boyfriend.
A nightclub. Yeah, they're pulling. So they never land. You see that they're red. You don't get an answer.
Oh.
You feel awful. Then the morning you reread it, you're like, that didn't sound cool.
That would actually double your hangover, wouldn't it? The anxiety.
And I did those for a long time.
Did you?
Yeah, between like getting broken up with and like, well, for me, leaving England was 6 months of that sort of crap. I wouldn't send them every day, but you know, there was plenty of like...
So you never learn.
Missing texts.
You reminded me there of that texting thing of like not realising when you're texting someone drunk or texting someone at all when it's a serious conversation that actually it doesn't land well.
Yeah.
And it always reminds me of when I watch reality television and they're all like, why have you done this and why have you done that? All I can see is the alcohol that's doing it. So in each episode of these programmes, everyone's getting on well during the day. They all have fun. We'll go in the pool and sex on the beach or all those things.
Yeah.
And then the evening comes and they're all drinking and the arguments start. And I don't know why he did that. And the next morning, it's all these arguments and stuff. It's the same with texting. It's like, it's alcohol that's doing it to you.
Yeah.
It's alcohol that's making him sleep with her and look over there and see someone else that he fancies. It's all booze related. It's the same with texting. It takes you a long time, probably until your 40s, to realise that that doesn't work.
Well, I would say there's three categories that everyone would fall into at least one of them. Okay, so you're in a relationship and you're arguing over text when you're drunk because you're not communicating well. You're in fresh out of a relationship and it's the I miss you text, but they are in a nightclub pulling someone.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I'm over my ex, I'm now single, I slept with someone a few weeks ago, I'm drunk, it's one in the morning, send a text, are you up?
Oh, God.
Are you around? Are you out tonight?
Yeah.
And then you don't get the answer and you wake up in the morning like, oh, that is desperate.
I think there's another one there, which is when you've passed the ex and you've healed from the situation, but then you're still kind of trying to be friends with the ex and texting them. That's even more awkward, isn't
it? Okay, what does that text look like?
I was just like, hey, are we still going to be friends? Like, when are we going to go out sometime and trying to be all friendly when really you're still dying?
Nice. I'd love to meet your new partner. Let's all go out each other's partners.
There's all sorts of horrible, messy, conflicted feelings, isn't there, when you're drunk and texting? We got some from our listeners, actually, about drunk texting, Haim. I did a post on Kuppa to open the shit-faced shed of shame.
I read these last night.
Yeah.
Liz was next to me. Liz was watching the cricket, actually. Very proud.
Well
and
done.
I wet myself laughing at these.
Oh, did you?
Our listeners have got unbelievable stories. I'm so also so glad that you put a post out saying, OK, guys, share your shame. And everyone's like, vroom, 50 comments.
That's why we do this episode, because every time we ask people to share their shame, they totally get something off their chest that they've been hiding for years and years. They are desperate to tell it.
Yeah.
It's incredible, really. Stacey said she'd get stupidly generous over text. She said sober me would end up doing things like hosting events, lending stuff out, babysitting or volunteering, all because she'd organised it when hammered over text message.
Felicia said, I went through a really bad get wasted and drunk message celebrities on Facebook /Instagram phase.
Love this one.
I once Facebook messaged Lisa Vanderpump and told her that I loved her more than my own mother. I'd love to know if she got an answer
to
that.
Have to contact Lisa Vanderpump, I think. But she likes rosé, so I'm not sure she'd be a good sober, awkward guest. James C said, crikey, where do I begin? I once messaged the chairman of Birmingham City Football Club asking for a job as a footballer. In the state I was in, I probably thought it was a surefire way to start up front that Saturday.
Sylvia said, I used to drunkenly text co-workers and clients on my work phone all the time. It would be either flirty or incomprehensible. Then I would act all confused and innocent when guys at work would think I was interested. Once sober, the attention I was drunkenly seeking was suddenly unwelcome.
Oh, God,
you should not drunk text on a work phone. That's terrible idea.
We got a message from Gaz C. It says, when you send the can you get any more of that gear text to your dad.
We also looked online to find the worst ever drunk text stories. There was a guy who sent a photograph to his ex-wife's mother saying, these are my pubes, how are you?
There's another guy who was drunk texting his sister. When she used to crack him up, he used to say, help, I'm dying. And he texted her that in a particularly funny moment. He actually texted it to his dad by mistake, who ended up pounding on his bedroom door at 3 a.m. going, are you okay? Because he thought he was dying. I love that one.
This is another one we got. I was drunk one holiday while visiting my family. I wanted Sloppy Joe's, American-style burger sandwich thing, right? I text my mother. Her message read as follows. I want some sloppy blowjobs.
I mean, yeah, Sloppy Joe's and sloppy blowjobs. That's an easy mistake to make, isn't it, to your mother?
Mum.
One lady says, for my 21st, I went to a male strip club and the stripper who gave me a lap dance also gave me his number. I decided to send him a dirty text at the end of the night. When I woke up the next morning, I realised I sent it to my Uber driver.
So good.
I know.
So, Vic, I think it's probably a good thing that you were too old to have had phones on a night out. That must have felt a little liberating.
Oh, yeah, because you never had to worry. There was never any evidence of what had gone on. The only embarrassing aftermath of a night out was perhaps some grainy photographs that took 2 weeks to print at Snappy Snaps. And there was no social media, no mobiles with cameras. It was quite easy to forget what went on. Whereas now, you can't get away with anything. Right, Haim, so what is drunk texting in the Urban Dictionary?
When you're absolutely cocked out of your mind and you text people things you'd never ever text them while sober.
Yeah.
We've never used the phrase cocked out of your mind, have you?
Cocked out, no.
I don't think we use that.
No,
is there an episode
yeah.
getting cocked out of your mind?
Yeah.
So why is this dangerous though, Vic?
Well, drunk dialing or drunk texting can have real consequences. They can put the person at risk for embarrassment, of course, and that hangover, shame or loss of friendship or romantic relationship. The person may be more likely to withdraw from friends after such an incident, which can be damaging for their mental health.
And also now there's the risk of sending nudes and people screenshotting them and sharing them around. Nothing is safe. It makes us both very afraid for our kids.
Yeah.
Putting anything online opens people up to criticism and ridicule. There are also some horrible people out there. Yeah. Nudes on smartphones is
idea.
A danger game. Yeah.
Bad idea.
But how do you have that conversation with your kid? Awkward as hell.
Well, funnily enough, this week I have allowed George to have...
Nudes.
No. I've allowed him to have kids' messenger for the first time. It's on my phone, so I can monitor the whole thing. No one else can access him. It's like a kind of a safe way of their messaging. And I was really against it. He was like, Mum, you could phone your friends when... Because he doesn't have a phone or anything. He was like, well, you could phone your friends when you were my age. And I want to be able to contact my friends. And it's true. It's fair enough. He does want to contact his friends.
We could not phone our friends with his age on mobile.
You probably didn't have a telephone.
10p a text it was.
No, but he just used a home
phone.
On the
landline. You had to call another landline.
You had to call another landline.
Hours.
Yes, yeah. So I could message my friends or talk to my friends, but he can't. So I understand why he wants it. So we're really monitoring it. But yeah, I'm very conscious of what's going on. As soon as it bings, I'm like, right, let me have a look at it, George. Yeah, he hates me. It's getting to that point where he's asking for things that I'm not comfortable with because he's entering the sort of hormonal years.
Interesting.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast. I actually watched a documentary at the weekend called The Most Hated Man on the Internet. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
God, about Hunter Moore. He's a convicted criminal and self-described professional life ruiner. That's what we're talking about here. People are out there to destroy other people's lives online. And that's what's scary about all this stuff, especially when drunk, putting yourself out there and then realising that somebody else has their hands on private information or private photographs. Moore enabled the non-consensual distribution of thousands of private images by founding Revenge Porn. The website is Anyone Up. It's a really horrible website where he just shared, you know, people...
Why
private
did
messages.
He do that? It was getting like hundreds of thousands of hits a day, wasn't it?
Yeah, he just made money out of it. Horrible.
Weird dude.
Yeah.
The documentary captures what revenge porn is, how it's carried out, and how traumatic it can be for victims. Scary, you could send a pic when under the influence, and then it can be everywhere. The impact would be devastating. I'd actually like to know what percentage of nudes are taken sober.
Yeah.
It's not many, is it?
Not many. Because you know what you're doing. Like, it's partly responsibility. You've got to take part responsibility. You're going to put that out there. There's a chance that somebody you don't know might get their hands on it, which is scary.
Yeah.
If you're a sober, awkward listener, you've probably wondered what it is about about your drunk brain as opposed to your sober brain that makes you so inclined to drunk text, or drexting for short, Hamish.
I didn't know that.
Drexting.
Did you know that?
Yes, no, I found out.
Yeah. According to research, there's a really good reason. It always sounds vague when you go according to research.
Which, don't worry.
According to science.
Years of research we've done into this episode.
According to research, there's a really good reason for why you drexted your high school boyfriend last night after one too many pints of Cronenberg. It's not that drinking alcohol to excess makes you unaware of what you're doing. It's just that it makes you care way less about the potential consequences.
Ah, it's interesting, isn't it?
In short, drunk people are just as aware of their screw-ups as sober people. They're just way more like, whatever, dude, I do me and you do you about it.
Yeah, love
I
that.
I don't think I'd ever say whatevs, dude.
I think you would. You're very whatevs,
dude.
I'm not
sure if I'm a whatevs, dude guy.
I am. I'm such a whatevs, dude mum.
You think because you live by the beach you can use the term
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I said awesome earlier. I realised as I said it, I was like, why have I said awesome?
You can say awesome,
no.
But maybe not dude.
Can I say bruh?
No.
Maybe we won't use those youth words, Hamish, because we do sound like dicks, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Bra, I think we're beyond bra.
Yeah. Is it mean bra as in ladies' bra?
You explaining that makes you age a little bit more. George, why do you call me bra?
Yeah,
you
know, that's what I said to you the other day. I said, why are you calling me bra? Just because I wear a bra. Like, I don't understand it. Anyway, funnily enough, I found a book about all this by Sean Horan. He is the author of a book, Why Do People Drunk Dial?
Oh,
there's actually
brilliant.
Stuff out there on this. He came up with five reasons why someone would want to drunk text. They include confessions of emotion, or to tell a friend or a romantic interest that they love or miss them, which is what you used to do. And as a form of social lubricant, which essentially means that drunk people dial because they have more confidence, can express themselves better, and feel less accountability for their actions. Mm-hmm. So therefore you care less. So you're just like, oh, I still love her a bit. I'm just going to send her a little message just to tell her that I still love her a bit and hope that makes her feel good and then get nothing in return.
Yeah.
Imagine how that would feel.
It's a bit like why drunk people get in supermarket trolleys and get pushed down streets, isn't it?
They don't
really care about the consequences.
No.
Well, this is a good idea.
Basically, drunk texting is getting in a shopping trolley when you're drunk and then being
maybe
let
that's
off a
what
hill.
We did more of before mobiles.
Yes,
it was just a lot of supermarket trolleys getting ridden around.
Yeah,
now
and
people
crashing.
Are on their phones, just ruining their lives and London Underground.
Yes, we had more
texts.
Physical injuries from our drinking. Maybe nowadays they
emotional.
Have mental and emotional effects from drinking.
That's it.
But what about drunk shopping? Here we go.
All right. About 1 in 6, which means about 17% of your intermass of Americans shop while under the influence, spending roughly $309 each, which equates to a big old price tag of $14 billion over the last 12 months, according to Finder's Drunk Shopping Survey. We need to get a job on these books or surveys.
We need to find who these people are, the Finder's Drunk Shopping Survey.
It's got to be the same person that wrote that book.
Yeah, it's got to be the same guy, hasn't it? How many people out there that are like working their life's theory on this?
Finder's Drunk Shopping Survey. I wonder if there's like online marketing aimed at drunk people.
But of course,
okay, we know that you went to 3 pubs tonight through GPS. That we're just going to hammer you with like really fun shit to buy when drunk.
I love it that it says also spending roughly
$309.
That's not roughly, is it? That's pretty stock.
To the nearest dollar.
To the nearest dollar. Yeah. I think that's a lot of money spent probably on something you don't need. I have bought drunk online only a few times,
okay.
Hamish.
Yeah.
My major one, which is the only one I'm going to mention here, is I once bought flights to Nepal at 3 a.m. on the Koh Samui Road at a 24-hour internet cafe.
Mm-hmm.
You remember you used to go in and sort of fax all your photographs to your family and stuff and sit and wait for the... probably before your time, but it used to make that dial-up sound.
Yeah.
My friend woke me up in the morning saying that we had to go to the airport, and I was like, are we picking someone up? She was like, no, we're going to Kathmandu. I was like, what do you mean? She said, we booked tickets last night. We're going to Kathmandu this
amazing.
Morning.
Amazing.
Yeah, I packed my bags. I was so hungover. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And we went.
How
and
it, was it?
It was amazing.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing with these stories is that it's very on sober, awkward trend to be like, never shop whilst drunk. But both of us did a little bit of shopping online when drunk, which turned out quite well.
Well, what it is you're sort of secretly, it's like a different person is doing something nice for you because you might be in a blackout. So therefore it was like the drunk me who I don't know, who could have got up to anything. I have no idea. Then I wake up and that person has bought me a nice present, a nice flight to Kathmandu.
That's
thank
nice.
You very much.
It's self-love.
Yeah. Don't do it, of course, but like sometimes it might turn out all right.
Exactly.
What about you, Hamish? Did you ever book anything while pissed?
Drunk purchases for me have gone pretty well, must say. So on my second ever date with Liz, we bought these flights to Japan. We bought the flights 9 months ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
And during that 9 months, she got a boyfriend, broke up with a boyfriend. We started going out. And then our first time hanging out was in Japan, which happened to be with one of my best mates who was on his honeymoon there.
Right.
So it was sort of a wildly romantic holiday for someone I just started going out with.
That's crazy.
But a drunk purchase that turned out unbelievably well.
Yeah.
I also, you know, when you're, I don't know if it's a uni thing, but you know, when you hang out with someone really intensely for like 3 or 4 days, you're like, I think we're now best friends.
Yes.
I did that with a friend of mine, Pulf, at uni. And on day three, I booked flights to go see his family in Switzerland.
Right.
And they had not even heard of that. It was so early on in the relationship that they hadn't even had like a phone call to him. Like, oh, I've got a new friend called Hamish.
Oh, no.
So I just turned up and they were like, who's this guy? And he was like, this is my new best mate. I met him on Thursday and I had like a family skiing holiday with his family.
Did they love you?
Still great friends in the morning.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's
yeah,
a good
were
one.
In Australia last year. I saw them.
Yeah.
My friend Jill bought flights to Vegas when drunk, leaving the following day. But like you and Nepal, she went with work friends. Yep. Hammered and thought, fuck it, I'll just go to Vegas tomorrow. So they can turn out well. I would say drunk texts never turn out well.
Yeah.
Drunk purchases, it's a 50-50 game.
Yeah, well, because you don't know what you're going to get, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also none of our stories there are like, we have £10 in the bank and we spend 9 of them on something dumb.
Yeah. I read a story once online. I think it was someone that was at AA had gone to bed in London and woken up in New York.
Nice.
Yeah, but they had no idea where they were when they woke up and looked out of the window and it was the Empire State Building. Imagine that.
That is good.
Yeah, that is rock and
how
roll.
How do they get on the flight?
Yeah, incredible. Well, some people are like, if you're in a blackout, if you're a really hardened drinker, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
It can be someone's in a blackout and they look perfectly all right.
That's
yeah,
a good
scary.
Story.
Here are some I found on the Tinder web. I'm calling this section Drunk Me Bought Sober Me a Present.
Love it.
Yeah. Someone online accidentally bought his pet toad 100 top hats. Instead of just one. There was a photo on there. Look it up. It's a little toad in a top hat, but then there's a bag of 100 top hats next to the toad. I don't know why any toad would want 100 top hats.
I was going to say, buying one top hat is weird.
Yeah.
Also, why have you got a pet toad?
I just love that story. There's so much in that story, isn't there?
It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. The toad did look very handsome in his hat, though.
I'm sure it would.
Yes, I'll share that picture, actually. I'll find it.
Okay, good.
Somebody bought their dog some socks, which was funny. There's also a picture of that. Googly eyes for the car, a pillow with Nicolas Cage's face on, a duvet with a sloth on a stripper pole. There's also a picture of that. Eggplant-shaped vibrator, lovely.
Wow.
A dad bod beach towel, a stuffed squirrel dressed as a cowboy, an ocarina, which is an ancient wind musical instrument,
yeah.
A life-size cutout of Danny DeVito.
It's not very big.
That would actually fit in the post, wouldn't it? Yeah. Entry to the London Marathon. That's a good one to wake up. That would be you, your mates going, yeah, we can do this. Let's do it. Let's buy the tickets. 200 tiny handcuffs. Well, they could probably get the toad involved there,
that's
couldn't
true,
they?
Yeah.
A thimble with Kanye West's face on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would get that.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads more on there.
I wonder if that London Marathon one is like, oh, I've gotten drunk again.
Yeah.
I need to sort my life out. I'll book in something really hard.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm sure people buy gym memberships when they're drunk.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. And they wake up the next morning and go, oh, my
or
God.
Or sign up to like juice cleanses.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And AA, actually.
Sure.
Yeah. Here's some from our cuppa friends. Philippa B said her friend's fiancé spent $10,000 on a speedboat when drunk and they didn't live anywhere near the ocean. They cancelled the wedding soon after that. Interesting.
That came out of the wedding fund,
yes,
did it?
Yeah.
Shit. Laura Lou said, I bought the kids all burrito blankets for Christmas, like huge blankets that look like wraps, and you roll yourself up like a human burrito. To be honest, I think they're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so no regrets.
Tracy A says, I've also fallen victim to those Insta adverts when drunk.
Yeah.
A special plug hole unblock contraption that pulls up the air. It was useless. And face cream that cost a fortune with special ingredients like snake venom or something to get rid of wrinkles.
Wow.
Yeah, snake venom.
Liz Brannigan said, I signed up for a sobriety course month-long program to quit alcohol when I was absolutely blasted. Didn't remember and was shocked when the content started dropping into my inbox. Anyway, I'm 49 days alcohol-free now, so best drunk investment ever.
There you go.
There you go, another good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Claire M, I bought The Office Ricky Gervais DVD set. I did want it, but have no recollection of doing it. I was actually happy when it arrived.
Yeah, again, good one. It seems buying in a blackout is like a secret Santa for yourself. Anything that could arrive in the sleigh.
Yeah.
So why do we buy things when we're drunk, Vic?
Well, alcohol lowers inhibitions and increases the rate of impulsivity in decision making. It stimulates those receptors again, Hamish, the GABA, which quiets the nervous system and reduces brain activity. Just one or two drinks can produce feelings of pleasure and reward, which can contribute to excessive behaviours, including shopping.
So, online shopping releases dopamine, drunk or not. It's an addiction like any other. Then, you mix in a few cocktails to your online window shopping. You are likely prone to spend more than ever, and like the texting, care less about the consequences. The worst way to drunk shop, they say, is if you are drinking alone. There is no one there to tell you when to stop, and the fuck it switch and credit cards seem like a good way to stay entertained. It's either that or text an ex. I guess in some ways, these technological urges are our naughty drunk brains tricking us into thinking behaviour we would not normally do is okay.
Yeah, exactly. The Merlot and MacBook combo is a bank breaker, with some people getting into heavy debt from buying all sorts of useless shit online. I guess with sobriety comes safety. You can be fully conscious about all your actions and take full responsibility when you do or say something wrong. It feels very lovely to not wake up wondering why you texted or what you bought in that blackout.
Fully knowing what you did the night before is a very nice feeling.
Yes, true.
The worst that could have happened is that you fell asleep during an episode of The Handmaid's Tale or texted your mum for a recipe for a Victoria sponge pudding. A cake recipe might not seem very rock and roll, but there is nothing better than trusting yourself and, if possible, keeping your genitals off the internet.
Yes, that's good advice. That's our advice, isn't it?
Just keep your nuts off the web.
Keep your nuts off the web. I saw lots of quotes, Hamish, online about the positivity of shopping when pissed. It was like buying a gift for yourself. But the best gift you can give yourself, Hamish, is...
Sobriety. Or flights to somewhere fun.
Yeah.
If someone drunk texts you, appreciate it. They're thinking of you when they can barely think straight.
Yeah.
That's one that I found online.
That's a good one, Hamish.
Summed it up. Good point. Have you ever received any drunk texts?
When I started my sober group, obviously I'm dealing with people who are on and off the wagon when you start like a social sober group. Not everyone just gets sober and stays sober forever. So you make friends with people and then they relapse. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they're probably in a blackout and need help. So I can be someone that people lean on in that situation. Mm. They think, oh, who shall I text now? I'm wasted. I probably need some help. I'll text Vicky at 3 o'clock in the morning when she's in bed. So I occasionally get those.
No nudes,
unfortunately. I'm open for those at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Instagram messages, no nudes.
Damn it.
If you're thinking of sharing your nudes.
No, don't. Please don't. I did get an ex-boyfriend texting me once asking to get back with me, but he was the one that had cheated. And I'm just like, well, why are you texting me asking me to get back with you? You're the one that did the dirty.
Yeah.
I did get a picture of my brother-in-law, Dan.
Go on.
We do have a bit of an odd relationship, me and my brother-in-law, Dan. He was naked on a balcony. I mean, I asked him if it was for my sister, like he's made a mistake. He said, no, it's for John.
Yeah.
For my husband.
Nice. Could you see cock and balls?
No, it was just his bum.
Oh, sort of artistic.
But anyone that was down on Manly Beach that day would have seen his cock and balls because we had a balcony that looked over the whole beach. So he was facing me and I just saw bum in the picture. But anyone on the beach would have seen cock and balls.
That was
but he's
John.
Got a tiny cock, so I probably wouldn't be able to see it.
See, me, if I was on a balcony, everyone on Manly would have been able to climb
There's
up it.
There's an anaconda escaped.
The Loch Ness Monster is alive. I once got a text, this is quite good, whilst presenting the radio, that said, hey, and I do breakfast radio, right?
Yeah.
Early in the morning. Hamish's news reports make me horny, from Amy in Coolham.
God, what time was that in the morning? You got that?
Wow, some point between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m.
God, there's some poor desperate fools
so
out there, aren't there?
Either prank or drunk in the morning, because my voice is not horny making.
You've got a nice voice, Hamish.
But not when you read the news,
voice.
No. Just weather reports and, you know, what the government's latest foreign policy is.
Oh, sir. I'm rubbing my legs here. Oh, yeah, foreign policy. Oh, suits you. All right, well, I think we're done here, don't you, Hamish?
Yeah.
That was lovely to hear everybody's shame shed entries.
It
is the best, isn't it? Because everybody gets something off their back and we get a bit of a laugh, don't we, Hamish?
Yeah, we're laughing with you.
We're laughing. I'm actually laughing at them. Is that okay?
Yeah, they're laughing at us. Okay. They've laughed at us for series. That's fine.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you're questioning your relationship with booze, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time to reach out for some support.
Yeah, just talk to a mate about how you're feeling, contact a local doctor, find an AA or sobriety group. Vic's got one.
Yeah, just head to www.cuppa.community.
Remember, if you're questioning yourself, it might be time to seek support.
Even though this journey can be awkward, it is definitely worth it. And if you've enjoyed the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to review it, rate it, and share it with your mates.
Do they have to share it with their mates?
Yeah, of course they do. I'm not doing this for nothing, Hamish. Bloody hell.
How do they share it?
I don't know. Just write it on the...
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas.
I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, as you probably know, my comedy memoir, A Thousand Wasted Sundays, is officially out. All my magnificent fuckuppery in one awkward hit. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy, it's now available from all good bookstores.
We always say all good bookstores, don't we? Yeah. Are there bad bookstores?
I don't know. It's probably ones with moody sellers.
Oh, yeah. Depressed librarian folks.
Yes, okay, yes. Good. Yeah. So there are probably some, but we're only storing it in the good ones.
It's only made it into the goodies.
You can also get it from all good online retailers. The print version and ebook are out now, and the audiobook will be available in March. I've been writing my memoir for 5 years. It will make you laugh, cry and cringe, and hopefully inspire a few people to reconsider their relationship with booze. If you love the podcast, then I think you'll love the book, even if I do say so myself. Hamish has read it. What did you think?
I feel like I know a little bit too much about you now, to be honest, Vic. Look, I really loved it. It was hilarious and surprisingly moving, but I feel like I've seen you naked in a literary sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From an emotional point of view, seriously, it wobbled my teeny-weeny wooden heart, Vic.
Okay.
My teeny little wooden heart.
Well, his teeny little... His wooden heart is broken. Anyway, so if you do manage to get your filthy mitts on a copy, please do me a favour and head to goodreads.com and give me a review. Doing that will help me get it out there to those that need a bit of sober support. So there you have it. My story, unwanted warts and all. Come and get awkward with me.
Not to be too demanding or anything, but seriously, go and buy it.
Yeah,
now.
Go and buy it. Go and buy it right now.
Yeah, don't just tell your friends. Buy it and then buy your friends one or two.
Yeah, yeah, don't give them a copy. Yeah. Buy it. Yeah.
And you know what? Don't be careful where you store it. If you lose it, you can always buy another five.
Yeah, buy another one.
Yeah.